podcast from the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's Office of National Mission. This is God's Mission Here. Hello, and welcome to the God's Mission Here podcast. I'm Reverend Dan Gelschut, Executive Director for the Office of National Mission, and this is the season for our worship ministry. And I have with me here today Sean Denzer, Chaplain Sean Denzer, the Director for Worship Ministry with the Office of National Mission.
Thanks for the introduction. It's great to be on the God's Mission Here podcast. I'm Chaplain Sean Denzer. I have two roles, actually, at our International Center in St. Louis. I'm the chaplain for our employees at the International Center for LCMS and Concordia Plan Services and Foundation. We have daily chapel as well as providing some supplemental spiritual care for those who probably already have their own pastors as well. But the main part of my role is to be director of worship, overseeing the worship ministry area of Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
Yeah, thank you for that introduction and for all that you do in both of those roles. Maybe as we get started, a good thing for us to talk about is, what is worship? Because that term is used differently across America in different ways. So when we talk about worship, what do we mean by that?
It's a really great point. I mean, worship is the short word, and I'm into doing it short. But it has multiple meanings, and even the understanding of what my office really does focus on, the worship service, what happens on Sunday morning, you might say, in the church service proper, even our understanding of what worship is varies. As Lutherans, we understand the worship of God to be primarily faith, trusting in the promises of Christ. That's why the direction of our worship, as our hymnals have said, begins with God's speaking and giving and saving of us, and then leads into the responses that we have, only some of which happen in the context of the worship service. Many people would think when they hear the word worship that we're ascribing worth and praise to God, that it's our singing of praises to Him first and foremost, or maybe that He really wants to hear that from us and that that's His primary concern. As Lutherans, we understand that the great outreach, the great mission of God is that He comes to us with His word, He brings His life and salvation to us. This is what the word and the sacraments are, bringing Christ and His gifts to us all the time. That's the foundation and the heart of our services and our gatherings, and then we respond to that with many thanksgivings and praises. Those are the parts that probably have their place in the worship service itself, but there's really a whole life of worship that's outside of the church service, which is, as Paul says in Romans 12, that we present our whole bodies and selves as sacrifices that are living sacrifices to God, holy and acceptable in His sight on account of the word and the sacraments that deliver Christ's righteousness to us, but then alive in good works and love and service to the neighbor, well outside the church service, admittedly, well outside my area too. I don't get to be in charge of absolutely everything, which I suppose that understanding worship almost includes.
Well, certainly worship is a huge topic, and it does touch on all areas of the Christian life. As you mentioned, when we're talking about the service that we most often have on Sunday morning, we talk about the divine service, right? Because it gets into that direction that you talk about in terms of God distributing His gifts, God giving His gifts to us. But as you mentioned, it encompasses a whole lot more. And as far as you not getting to be in charge of the whole Missouri Synod and the church, I just say thank God.
Amen. I say the same thing. I mean, the word and the sacraments are the center. That's why, you know, it's not the only thing that even my narrow understanding of worship, the services that happen in church, you know, it isn't only what God is doing. Certainly there's the response that we have, but that's because His word and His sacraments are at the heart of it. They're creating faith. They're giving life. They're gathering in the nations, sustaining them then for service here, in all the other things that we do, in our vocations, in our life together, but also all the way to the end. I mean, as our theme, our triennial theme for the LCMS has been to make disciples for life, we're a big part of that in worship. The most common thing at every congregation, I think, that they are gathering to pray, to hear the Word of God, to have the Lord's Supper, to encourage one another. What makes disciples is the Word of God, that connects us with Jesus Christ. That starts in worship. But the aim of our making disciples is not just for this moment or for numbers or any of that. It's that they would be disciples for their entire earthly life, but on into the life eternal. And everything that our worship does, I think exemplified by the fact that we end with the blessing of God and usually in the divine service with Holy Communion, with the Song of Simeon, right? That we're ready to depart in peace since the Lord has fulfilled his promises. That's the aim we have, is to bring our Christians with what they're armed with in God's word at worship all the way to the very end until they're welcomed into the eternal arms of Christ and raised at the last day.
Yeah, that's such a great description of it. And even as you were talking about, again, the direction of God's gifts and then our response, and that's lived out throughout all of our Christian lives. I was thinking about that in terms of the way we talk about worship or the divine service as Lutherans, and I was thinking about the fact that it's similar to the creation, right? It's got to start somewhere, right?
Yeah.
So it starts with God, right? Just like faith starts with God. It's his gift to us, and that's certainly the approach we take as Lutherans, right?
Absolutely, and it grows. Like, I mean, the Lord's creation continues to procreate, continues to, despite even the corruption of sin, right, reflect his greatness, his goodness, continue to give us beautiful days even. And there's a way in then in which what happens on Sunday morning, what most of us would say is church, actually prepares us for a life of with the whole church, serving our neighbors, especially those of the household of God.
Yeah, wonderful. And as we talk about where things start, it's maybe a good time for us to just ask a little bit more about the history of your work and the history of the Office of National Mission and specifically worship. LCMS worship.
Absolutely. Right there at the start of the Missouri Synod when it was founded, when the Constitution was first written, there were many discussions, many articles that spoke about what the requirements or expectations of member congregations and pastors would be. Among them was a simple statement, but one that we've cared about for a long time, that our churches are going to use only doctrinally pure hymn books and agendas. It even said in the original Constitution that these would be the means by which unity in worship and confession would be created, because what we would be saying and praying and doing, especially when we gathered at the chief times like Sunday morning as a congregation, would be guided by the Word of God and the pure teaching. Out of that then came the necessity to make some of those hymn books. And so the synodical structure, the president of synod in some ways, as well as the various structures that we've had here now embodied in the Office of National Mission for America, counterpoint to the Office of International Mission for our missionary work around the world, is to help gather those experts, those who are most well-suited to create useful, doctrinally sound hymn books that can assist our congregations in the worship that they have in their congregations. That's actually where it happens, of course. So we've had many hymnals, and you probably grew up with them and enjoyed them. Maybe some of you still remember German and the Kirchengesangbuch. I admit I don't, although I like my copy I have now. There's the Lutheran hymnal from 1941, the Lutheran worship hymnal, as well as Lutheran Book of Worship, out of which it came in the 70s and 80s. Probably you have that burgundy Lutheran service book in your pews and hopefully in your home as well right now. What the future holds, hey, we don't know right now. We're still enjoying Lutheran service book. Throughout these times where hymnals especially were needed, the commission on worship, sometimes a standing committee, sometimes dissolved and reconstituted, but that commission on worship, especially with its executive staff at the central office of the Missouri Synod, they were the key players in gathering those from around the synod who could assemble this hymnal, who could bring their expertise, their knowledge, and their time and effort to bear to give us these resources. The commission on worship was actually dissolved, not because they had done anything wrong, but as part of a big restructuring that happened in our church in 2010. And that actually dissolved all of the standing commissions except for the Commission on Church Relations and Theology, and that includes the Commission on Worship. About 3 years later, as they were working on it, they realized, of course, it would be pretty strange to get rid of some kind of office or a leader in worship when that's probably the thing that every congregation you can count on has going on.
Yeah, absolutely.
So Pastor Will Whedon is my predecessor. He started in 2013 as a director of worship. He in particular made use of the radio and other resources to be a strong teacher of what it is to enjoy and appreciate better this Lutheran heritage of worship that has the gifts of God at its center, eliciting that thanksgiving and praise from us. And I was privileged to come on in 2020, right at the beginning of the year, right before things got very strange, especially for worship, frankly, with the pandemic. But by God's grace, we are back in church together. And boy, wasn't that the thing we probably missed and struggled with most, is how can we sing the Lord's song in such a strange time? But absence, I think, did make the heart grow fonder, and by God's grace, we're back, and it's the role of my office to do what I can from this position to help where everybody else is out on the front lines, serving in God's mission, at the forefront of God's mission in every congregation.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, what a difficult time for you to start in 2020. challenges for so many people that year and in the years beyond. But thanks be to God, as you said, for the gathering of His saints and the ability to receive His gifts and sing His praises. As you talk about that and as you talk about the hymn books, one of the things that maybe our listeners would like to know a little bit more about you is some of your qualifications in that regard musically, because thanks be to God that you have some musical abilities more than myself, who I'm fine to sing with other people as long as they're singing loudly, right? Yeah. That's about my level, but you're gifted by the Lord musically, and you want to share a little bit of your background that way?
Sure. I mean, I've been a lifelong Missouri Synod member. I'm actually a product not of pastors, but of Lutheran school teachers. My extended family are all Lutheran school teachers. I think I'm the only pastor I'm aware of. I'm the black sheep, and I wear black too. But growing up in Lutheran schools, being exposed to the rich heritage of our hymnals, excellent music teachers, really had an impact on me. It led me to pursue undergraduate degree in church music. I actually went out of system, strangely, for that, but it was always my intention to hopefully serve as a church musician. The Lord had other plans. He bit me with the bug of loving His word as well, and that led me to pursue the office of the ministry, to go to seminary, to study to be a pastor. I always hoped maybe I might make use of my music as well, but he decided he was going to send me to rural North Dakota to serve two parishes as a sole pastor there, which was absolutely fantastic. I was there for 7 years and honestly was not looking to leave. It was wonderful parishes and incredibly important to be preaching the word. I had to discover, frankly, that the job of a pastor in church is not to be the funny man up front, not to just be in charge or something, but that I didn't want to do that. But to give out the Lord's gifts, to bring not my own charisma or anything to this, but to bring what is actually life-giving, that I'm delivering the forgiveness of sins. I'm calling those lost sheep back to the Lord. I'm feeding them to strengthen them, not just now, but even to life everlasting. That is something I was interested in doing. That's what led me to pursue the office of the ministry. And now to come here and to be able to do both, to bring all of my love of church music and knowledge there, maybe not as primarily a player and a leader of the church's song on Sunday morning, likewise, not as a preacher and a leader on Sunday morning of a parish as a pastor, but to understand and to appreciate that what is being preached by God's grace from our pulpits, the faithful, true word of God, the law that convicts us of sin and calls us back, and the gospel that absolves us and strengthens us for service, that this is the very same thing that is being proclaimed from the balcony as well, that the music that the church has is accentuating, echoing, repeating, strengthening the very same message, the very same mission that we have coming from the pulpit. And in the Lutheran Church, we don't just leave it to the experts, thanks be to God. We are very interested in participation. That's why I would say probably more of the extolling, sharing, proclaiming, and yes, even the singing of God's word probably comes from the pews, the congregation.
Yes.
That's all part of what worship is.
You know, I appreciate that so much. And, you know, quite honestly, the place where I've learned to appreciate that is not only in my own participation, but as a father.
Mm.
You know, I've heard many times throughout my ministry how many people have said, well, I made sure to get my kids to church.
Yeah.
And thanks be to God for that, right? But I would also say kind of even beyond that, I don't want to just get my kids to church. I also want my kids to participate.
Absolutely.
Right.
The engagement that Lutheran worship is so fully participatory. It is not a show. It is not, let's see what the pastor had to do, or maybe just hear the nice music that the organist probably did spend an awful lot of time, the musicians, to prepare. But their work is to reach out to everybody in the congregation and include them. I mean, the preacher is not gassing off up there. He's reaching into your heart with the word of God. He's giving to you the strength and the life that comes from Christ's sacrament. He wants faith to come out of you. He wants it to come out in praise and confession. It's exactly what the musicians want, too. They want everybody to be able to have a part in the Lord's word and in the Lord's song. And I mean, I appreciate it. Hey, maybe not everyone has the not everyone is a solo singer or even a choir singer, but man, what an impact that makes as a father that they see you're singing anyway. I'm sure they'll be able to overcome whatever musical training you're giving them.
We'll just need some help with that training. I don't know. Do you want to teach some lessons to my kids? What instruments do you play anyways?
I'm an organist by my degree, studied organ performance, not for the sake of performance, but for the sake of church music. I play piano and recorder and a few other weird things too. Serving in North Dakota, occasionally I had to run back and forth between chancel and piano. I think there's a lot of pastors and small congregations that probably can appreciate that and understand exactly what we're doing. But I would say the best instrument that I had to learn to cultivate, because I thought it was pretty lame when I was a kid, and there was a time when the director of worship didn't sing in church. And the Lord has rebuked me, and I've repented of that. And I urge you to do that too, even if your voice isn't a sparkling jewel or something. The voice is a gift of God to every single human. It's a great gift. And whereas sometimes it can be a flame that goes around and says horrible things and curses others, it's at its best when it's speaking the Lord's own word, when it's giving the comfort with which we ourselves have been comforted. And the Bible is pretty clear that singing is a huge part of that, that not only is the Lord's word proclaimed truthfully, it is the source of true beauty, and we actually get to be a part of that with singing.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I'll say I appreciate your gifts and the gifts of so many musicians around the LCMS, all around North America, for what they provide in worship all across our church body. I'd say, you know, it's one of those things where my parents actually made me take piano lessons. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I wasn't a very diligent student. It's one of my great regrets in life that I didn't stick with it more.
I had mean parents who forced me to do it even when I didn't want to, and they were right, and thanks be to God for that.
Yes, my parents tried. I was maybe a little more rebellious than you. So
no comment.
But, you know, you also talk about the blessing of the singing of all the congregation. It made me think of Psalm 51, "O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise," right? This is why the Lord gives us lips and tongue. And obviously, like you said, we can use it for other means. I would also say we don't always use it for what we're supposed to, but, you know, we also, I guess, sing the Lord's praises as we proclaim his gospel, right? So we do that as we share the good news of Jesus Christ with our neighbors. But certainly, if you pay attention to the Psalms closely, which I know you spent a lot of time with that this summer, mm-hmm. It's striking how often The Psalms call us to sing and pray and speak aloud the praises of our God.
That's right. He surrounds us with the shouts or the songs of deliverance, which is, I mean, again, I'm a pastor, and I have a place in my heart for the church musicians too, the experts, right? But what do we want most of all? We would be most pleased that the whole congregation would be echoing this, that all of our voices together as one. I mean, this is how it is. We brought from many places together our one bread in Christ Jesus. We, many voices, sing in harmony and unison. And the thing that brings us together, the thing that gathers the whole church in communion, which no surprise is the centerpiece of our life together as Christians, is His word, His truth. And that's what He puts on our tongues to sing and to praise and to tell others. Everything we do in worship, although it's the Lord's mission to us, I suppose, we should recognize that there is no fundamental difference between that and the very word that He is bringing out to others to welcome them into this communion. When we profess and confess the word of God, that's the very same word that calls people to new faith, that brings them to the waters of holy baptism. And we ourselves are being evangelized, as it were, mm-hmm. all the time when the gospel is proclaimed, sometimes even by our own mouths, by my neighbor's mouth, and yeah, by the pastor and the musician as well.
Yeah, and as you talk about the fact that we're evangelized, it strikes me that in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says, "Now I would remind you of the gospel." Mm-hmm. And then he goes on to say the gospel, that Christ died on the cross for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised again on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. Thanks be to God for that. But one of the things that I've thought about a lot in the last few years is that Paul says, "Now I would remind you of the gospel." Yeah. We never move on from it, right? We need it over and over and over again. That's one of the blessings of worship. As we think about that, I know you've talked about a lot of the big picture stuff for worship and a lot of the purposes of your office, but I might just ask you to share a little bit in terms of, what's the purpose of your work, maybe concisely, so that people understand what kind of resource you're meant to be for them and for their congregation.
I like the way you said it. I mean, I think the director of worship is at his best if he can be a resource. I can't answer every possible email that comes, but certainly, to ask for these things and to help work with our other partners to see that resources are prepared and available for others. Things that are teaching us about understanding and participating, perhaps to with more engagement, as we mentioned, with our worship, knowing what the divine service is, understanding these songs that we're singing, seeing how they're actually expressing the scriptures, recognizing that we learn the scriptures best, perhaps, when set to music, drilled into our heads, known from childhood, they're there for us at our last hours as well. We want to lead by example, demonstrate, something that is happening across our synod as well, but especially when we have the opportunity uniquely to gather it together. Excellent, Christ-centered worship that is proclaiming His forgiveness of sins and then eliciting our thanksgiving from that. We want to gather and support those practitioners of worship that we mentioned, right? Mm-hmm. Pastors in their task as preachers and conductors of the service, musicians who are gathering the other musical forces in their congregation, most importantly, the congregation itself, mm-hmm. To sing and extol God's word. And as I've kind of alluded to, I mean, the result of all of our work, in my mind, is we want to support everything that's going to make the chancel, the balcony, and the pews all proclaim and echo the Lord's free forgiveness of sins in Christ Jesus. For some concrete examples, our office plans and conducts all the large-scale worship services at the various synod-wide gatherings we have. So at convention, it's even the first purpose that the convention handbook says, that we worship together as yeah. well as do all the other business too. When we come together for the National Youth Gathering, the biggest gathering of LCMS Lutherans we have, I have a part working with them for the worship service there. International events that probably our members don't get to see, but that the LCMS is a leader also with those other church bodies of Lutherans around the world, which is so great to see that the one thing we can have in common, even if we can't understand each other's language, I mean, we're all saying the Lord's Prayer here, and maybe the words are different, but the prayer is the same. The yes. Lord's word never changes. Our big event is thankfully back after that 7-year hiatus, especially due to the pandemic. The Institute on Liturgy, Preaching, and Church Music. Boy, I'd love to just call it the Worship Institute, but I mean, the great part about talking about liturgy is that we all have a part in that, as we mentioned. Preaching gets the chancel, right? The pastors are not unimportant to what goes on. I mean, in some ways, that's the fountainhead of it all, but that church music serves that, and the whole congregation is involved. This 4-day conference that we had was an absolute smashing success to bring the Psalms to us this time. It's a mix of old topics, perennial topics, as well as fresh things for everyone who's involved in worship. And as we said, that's pastors who are preaching and conducting. That's musicians who don't have a whole lot of other conferences to go to really sharpen one another's iron and network with each other. But it's also for our appreciators of worship. I mean, the full participants of worship, which is every single Christian, that you would know more, be able to participate better, understand in a grander way the great gifts that the Lord has for you every single week at your church. And supporting all of this, regular resources, training programs, other items, so that what is happening at the local congregation can be strengthened, supported, brought into alignment and unity for the benefit of the gospel to us and to those who are hearing it outside the church, that they be brought into the song as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned quite a bit about the Institute back in July. And as you mentioned, it was a smashing success. Hundreds of people attending, hundreds of people worshiping together, wonderful music, and what a great event. I know that you also reported to me that we had quite good reviews on the event. So we're thankful for that and looking forward to everybody who enjoyed it coming back 3 years from now.
Yeah, and 2027. We'll see you there again. I don't know where we're going to be quite yet, but we will let you know as soon as possible. And I think we'll hear a little bit more about the Institute too in some of our later episodes this season.
Okay, well, that's good to know. But look forward to seeing everybody back, but new ones joining us as well, right?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, as we look forward then, do you want to talk a little bit about some of your ideas for the future of what we can do to continue to strengthen God's people and expand our ability to really, as you said, call people together into singing the praises of the Lord, to sharing the forgiveness of sins and the good news of Jesus Christ as you lead LCMS worship?
We are blessed that our pastors have an ever-increasing number of conferences, partnerships, things like their circuit meetings, places where they can gather, where they can sharpen their craft. LCMS worship has a part in that, certainly looking at the conduct of the service and preaching. But we know that between our seminaries and, like we said, even our local circuit pastors and their natural grassroots organization, it is so great to see, I think, maybe a time that we didn't have this in the past. Today's pastor in the LCMS is more engaged with each other, not mm-hmm. to compete with one another, but actually to work together and to become better at what they do, not for their own prowess, but for the sake of the mission of God. So this is wonderful. I see our office maybe paying attention to a group that doesn't get as much attention, the musicians, who don't have the networks and the seminaries mm-hmm. that the others do. So we can coordinate the vast riches that we have at the local level, at the district level, where the action's happening, so to speak, and elevate that both to those who are local, but also to those who might not have heard of it around. I mean, just think of the ability of our musicians to gather together in their area, in their state. Places like Texas have this going on. Places like Kansas have very strong worship conferences popping up just at that district level. Pulling the musicians together, perhaps those who have degrees from our Concordias being leaders, but even the volunteer musicians, all aspiring to grow in mm-hmm. service to the Word of God. So that's a big focus that we'll have. To harness the benefits of our synod's growing unity, our growing understanding of worship, our growing love for the Lord's gifts that I see every time I talk to people around the country. Look, it's going to happen in the future, and it's probably the question people ask me most. are you guys working on the next hymnal? we do feel like we're in the off season right now because Lutheran Service Book is serving us so well. This is not a hymnal that has the contention that maybe, you know, the 70s, a contentious time for the Missouri Synod, have. And I think many people are enjoying and growing in that worship. I don't think Lutheran Service Book is going away anytime soon. But wisdom indicates that we should be preparing. If we want to have a hymnal that's as good as Lutheran Service Book, we're going to have to spend some time preparing for it like they did. So it's certainly on the horizon, probably first with a supplement, but then looking again at a hymnal, because, hey, they all wear out eventually. And the Lord continues to give new gifts to the church, as well as some that we might have left behind that we might want to pull back again.
Yeah, that's so exciting to hear about thoughts about continuing to grow in terms of our worship and while giving thanks to God for Lutheran Service Book and to the blessing that that's been to the LCMS and to the church, recognizing that we do want to be thinking about things that are coming down the road. And as we think about that, I hear that there's some exciting news for LCMS worship.
There is. We just received word that we have received a very large Lilly grant for a project that we looked at, actually a 5-year grant. The focus of this grant is children in worship, something that, I mean, with our rich school tradition in the LCMS, is no stranger to us. But we're looking at taking some of we're all gathered together in worship. We already believe, because of baptism, because of infant faith, that all Christians, no matter their age, are full participants in the worship of Christ. But there are ways that we can be deliberate, intentional about this to help bring along our next generation in this service to one another, maybe understanding more about the worship that they're participating in, but especially helping them to be true and wise participants at all stages of growth. And that's something, by the way, that statistically we found through some of our work in other areas like Set Apart to Serve, this program that's looking especially for recruitment of future church workers. The way that the number one way that people are brought into future church work to be a pastor, to be a musician or another servant of the church, is by being connected with those workers, seeing the joy, sometimes the hardships, but the great confidence that they have in Christ in serving these gifts. I mean, just like I said earlier, to see that it's not about us, but it's about being servants of our Lord's great gifts. That what draws people into that service. So our 5-year program is going to look and work with local congregations. It's going to do listening to hear about children both in worship and all the fruits that come out of that in family discipleship as well. And look at some mentorship programs and other resources that might be developed for training that could be done in local parishes, but that could come out of not just a few that we'll work with, but be gleaned and offered up to the rest of the church as well, to have programs to work with children, perhaps in choirs, improving their voice, learning how to sing with their parents as well, looking at the ways in which we have young men serving as acolytes in church, the way also we have others, including young women, serving as altar guild helpers, taking care of the practical sides, but all of the while learning about what the Lord's gifts are in the divine service. So by looking at what is actually happening and by drawing on the workers that we have there in districts and in congregations, this is not just something that my office cooks up, but something that we see the great gifts that God has given our church beyond this building can be harnessed, can be brought to bear, can be refined, and then in our capacity through this grant to be able to spread this to our church and have a real big impact as well.
Yeah, that's really exciting stuff as we think about teaching our children, encouraging their participation in worship, right? As you said, by virtue of their baptism, they're full participants in worship. But how do we encourage that to strengthen them in making use of their ability to serve and to use the gifts that God has given them? But even as we think about that, also just to encourage them in the faith, which so many people are worried about or thinking about in as we face the challenges of living in the world today, where so many people are being distracted away from the Lord's gifts. What a wonderful opportunity we have to point everybody to the Lord's gifts and to strengthen them in receiving those.
Absolutely. Our youth department has done some great research on the importance of relationships and healthy relationships in congregations and in families, by the way, the obvious relationship, that these are the means by which the faith is nourished, strengthened, you're given resilience for hard times, and you continue in the faith, right? We don't have this backdoor loss of people who leave the church after grade school or high school or college. And it's hopeful that through this grant, not only will we be providing some practical knowledge and training for young children at various ages so that they can be more engaged participants, but that they also will have great opportunities to be mentored. And that what happens maybe in an acute way with a church worker, like a musician or a pastor, could be strengthened also in the home, which not only has more time with children, but is the place, I mean, God's given that command in order for parents to be the primary teachers, that the family would actually be the primary home of discipleship, and the one that's so effective when we are, as Deuteronomy says, having these things bound on our foreheads, as it were, and in the doors, and that we're talking about on the way at all times, that the word of Christ is, I mean, really dwelling richly in us. Yes, through songs and hymns and spiritual songs, especially in worship, but in whatever we do, that the name of the Lord would be praised and that he would dwell with his forgiveness and mercy in those praises. He is the Lord who saves us. That's why we give him thanks.
Yeah, absolutely. And as you were saying that, I was thinking through some of my own times in life or instances in life and how I've heard this from other parents as well, talking about the joy that parents get in seeing their children sing some of the songs from the Sunday worship service or to pray the prayers. What a wonderful blessing that is. All right, well, this is all really exciting, and it's been a great introduction to learn more about LCMS worship and about you, Chaplain Denzer, and I'm looking forward to learning more in some other podcast episodes coming soon, right?
Absolutely. We've got about six episodes, including this one. And if you want to find out more about what LCMS Worship is already doing, has done in the past, you can find everything at lcms.org/worship. We'll put a note in the show notes as well.
All right. Thanks for joining us, and the Lord's blessings to you. Thanks for joining us. If you liked what you heard, please leave us a review and don't forget to click the follow or subscribe button so that you don't miss out on upcoming episodes. God's Mission Here is a podcast that discusses Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation, and how he delivers those gifts where you live and serve.